Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9. We're here at that conference. We're having a little fireside chat. Look at this. I point it out every time. It's like there's, I don't know if you can hear it, but there's like a little crackling sound. And then sometimes smoke comes out. It's fantastic. I'm here with Sarah. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thanks. So what do you do?
I'm a technical evangelist with Microsoft based in the Chicago area.
Okay. And so what does that entail?
My responsibilities include meeting with startup companies, user groups of developers, and also students at universities. So my job is to help people find success developing, especially on the Windows platform, because I'm employed by Microsoft as an evangelist.
That's true.
And evangelists are people who bring good news.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about the talk you're giving.
So keeping in the theme of the That Conference Microsoft theme is Microsoft is open. My demonstration is building your very first Node.js app, and I'm building a chat room using Socket.io.
Okay. Is it hard to, like, I don't know much. I built the Node.js website once, and I pushed it up. But why would someone choose Node.js?
Because it's like just taking something out of a box, and it already has a lot of stuff built. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can just sort of hit the ground running and go. And another reason to use it is if you already know JavaScript, you're just using JavaScript.
That's right. So, oh man, there's even flies around here. So JavaScript on the server and on the client side. So
yes.
How hard is it to get started with Node.js? You have something you can show us?
I totally have a demo, and I think I can do it in 30 minutes or less.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. So I'm gonna hover over you a little bit. Is that okay?
That's fine with me.
Nice.
Okay. So I've already installed Node.js on my computer. You just go to nodejs.com or .org.
And it's just an MSI that you download, right? I bet if you Bing Node.js, it'll come up.
You will totally find it.
All right.
So when you open up the Node.js command prompt, it starts you in the default folder. So you'll have to use the cd dot dot and the dir commands to navigate your way through the directory of where you until you get where you want to be.
Awesome.
So I'm going to do change directory dot dot until I get to my C drive, and then I'm going to change directory to my folder I have called Git, where I keep my Git repository stuff. So now that we're here, we're going to create a new folder, and then later we're going to initialize it as a GitHub repository.
Awesome.
After we've made some code files.
Sure.
So to make a new folder in the command prompt, you can type mkdir, which is short for make directory, and I'm going to call it that chat for that conference.
Nice.
Okay, and then you have to change directory into the new folder that you just made, into that chat. So now it says C drive, Git folder, that chat folder. So in this demo, we're creating a basic chat application using Node.js and Socket.io.
All right.
So the first goal is to set up a simple HTML web page that's going to serve out a form and a list of messages.
Right.
We're going to use the Node.js web framework called Express to accomplish this.
Okay.
I'll talk about Express a little bit more. So first, let's create a package.json manifest file that describes our project.
Nice.
So there's an awesome shortcut in here. You can type in notepad space and then give it a name, package.json.
Okay.
And if I hit enter, it just pops up Notepad for me. And
nice.
It says, I can't find a package.json file. You want me to create one? I hit yes. So this starts creating one. And I'm just going to throw in some code that I've already written.
Nice.
We've got an empty dependencies little snippet here. In order to easily populate the dependencies with the things that we will need, we need to use npm install.
Okay.
npm stands for Node Package Manager.
Okay.
I'm just going to make sure I'm saving this to the right place. Save as. And yeah, it should be in my C and Git, and it should be in that chat. And all files, there it is.
Nice.
It already exists. I'm going to replace it. Yes. So back to the command prompt. I'm going to type in npm node package manager install dash dash save, and I'm going to type express at, and I want 4.10.2.
Nice.
So npm install is just like, it's a package manager. It's like the NuGet to the ASP.NET.
Nice.
It's the gem to the Ruby.
I see. So is Express like a framework? It's a Node.js framework, if I remember right.
Yes. Let me see here. Express is a web framework, yeah. It lets you structure your web app to handle multiple different HTTP requests at a specific URL.
Awesome.
a lot of websites end in a slash, mm-hmm. and then if you change the slash, then you can go to a different page.
Sorry, it's like really campfire-y in here with flies and everything. I love it.
I don't know what to do about that.
I know.
I feel like I'm in an episode of a soap opera.
I know, and this is all crackling and stuff. So it brought it down, right?
Yes, it installed it.
Okay,
so next thing we're going to install is I'm going to do npm install socket.io.
Okay, and that's to do the asynchronous communication across?
Yes, the bidirectional asynchronous communication. So npm install dash dash save socket.io. Mm-hmm. Socket.io, it's a simple JavaScript library and a Node.js module, allows for real-time bidirectional event-based communication apps.
Got it.
And it simplifies the process of using WebSockets pretty significantly. So in short, use Socket.io if you want to connect, send, and receive messages.
Got it. Cool.
So after those are installed, we can create an app.js file that we will use to set up our application.
Cool. So I've heard of other tools that help make this a little bit faster. I love how you're going through it like with an empty directory, because sometimes it's a little mysterious what's happening. But there's tools that help you start projects, like Yeoman, for example.
I've heard of it, yeah. I have no experience using it right now.
Okay, cool. I like the empty project because sometimes these things like drop all this stuff and I don't know what's going on, and so I like this.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
I've got some code that I'm sort of copy pasting, so you don't have to watch me type code, but it's pretty simple. So I did the notepad trick again to create app.js. So let me explain this. And this is just a little bit big, so I'm gonna make this a little smaller.
No problem.
Okay, so in the first line, we're requiring a module called Express. And then we create a variable that's instantiated to Express. In line two, you can supply, in line two, Express initializes app to be a function handler that you can supply to an HTTP server, which is what we see in line three.
Right.
Internet magic.
Yeah, I know, the magic is happening right in there.
In line four, I initialize a new instance of socket.io by passing the HTTP server object.
Okay.
And then after that, I listen for a connection event down in line nine for incoming sockets. And at the end, I log it to the console.
Got it.
On line five, we make the HTTP server listen on port 3000 or
whatever the environment is set to.
Yeah. Use the process environment port for hosting it on Azure Online, which we'll do later if we have time. Then we define a route handler with the forward slash here in apt-get. That gets called when we hit our website home.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also calling res.sendFile to pass it an HTML file, which we will now create.
Got it. Oh, so this is pretty much just saying Node.js is doing this. When I get a request on whatever port is available, either whatever the environment says or port 3000, localhost colon 3000, send it back to this index file.
Yep.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, I'm going to close that. And let's do another notepad, and we're going to call this one our index.html. This is going to be the front page for client side.
Okay.
Yes. And I'm going to throw in all of the front end code.
Nice.
It's going to be pretty bare bones. When I did this on my own, I added some Bootstrap to it, but this is just like regular ugly CSS.
I think once as a developer you get a sense for what's coming in and what's going out, it's like, okay, now I know, now I can do whatever I want, you know? Yeah.
Being a developer is pretty magical.
I know, I love it. We're like unicorns.
Wizards.
I know, unicorn wizards.
I feel like a unicorn wizard.
Yeah, that's, I do too. I'm glad you put them together.
So let's see, over here, all it takes to load the socket.io client, which exposes an IO global, is like this right here, the var socket equals IO function. And notice these empty parentheses, I'm not specifying a URL when I call IO, since it defaults to trying to connect to the host that serves the page.
Got it.
And the main idea behind socket.io is to send and receive any events you want with any data you want.
Got it.
So when the user types in a message, the server gets it as a chat message event.
Is it like SignalR, but for JavaScript?
Somebody was asking me about SignalR earlier, and I'm not really familiar with that one either, so I don't want to misinform you. Okay. So when the program captures a chat message event, then it will be included in the page. We want it broadcasted to see on the web page.
Okay.
Okay, so now if we navigate back to the Node.js command prompt and we run Node.js, we might be able to actually see something happen. So let me type node app.js, which is how you run, fingers crossed. It will say listening on 3000.
Yeah, which is the one we want, which is the one we set up.
So let me see if I can navigate to my localhost
3000.
Whoops. It did something wrong.
Make sure you put in, you put index.html or?
Let me make sure I saved it to the right place.
All right, let me do that. You gotta make it look a little hard. Otherwise, like, they're not gonna think we're magic unicorns. Yes.
There it is.
There it is! It wasn't saved, look at that. There was some nerves there for a second, but I knew it'd come out, because we're unicorn wizards.
Let me type unicorn wizards.
Wait, where are you typing that?
I'm typing it in this little chat box. It's down
at
the bottom
of the
page.
Oh, there it is. I didn't see it. And so if you open another web page to the same place, is it going to...
Let me try opening it in Firefox. Okay, come on. It's like you got to have the HTTPs in there,
yeah,
and then you got to have the local host, and then you got to have a colon and 3,000, and I don't even know if you need a slash.
No.
Okay. All right. Test. Ta-da!
Wow, that's awesome! Holy cow!
I did this in how many minutes has it been?
So yeah, like, here's the cool thing, right? Building those kind of distributed systems is difficult, but it looks like you're able to do it really quickly. Can I look at the code again on the index.html?
Yeah, you want to see the front-end code?
Yes, I do. I do.
So what do you want to see?
I want to see where it actually, where's the box, the text box?
Okay, hang on. Let me open this up in a program that is going to make it easier for you to read it.
Oh, man, Visual Studio Code. Here we go.
It's the new Notepad++.
Yes, it is. It's fantastic.
Okay, select the folder. And I like how it highlights the colors. There it is.
Oh, nice.
And it even has these little boxes that show you the RGB values.
Fantastic.
That's nuts.
Yes. Is this a touchscreen? Can I?
Yes, it's a touchscreen.
All right. So socket.io, okay, anytime the form submits, it emits the chat message. And where is it that it puts the message? Oh, there it is. It does an LI and you've got it.
Yeah, yep.
That's remarkable. So now the question is, okay, this is pretty cool. We were able to make something, but it's on our local host.
Mm-hmm.
How do we push it to Azure, and is it gonna be painful? Am I gonna have to wait around? Is this gonna be like an 80-minute video?
No, okay. Definitely not. I can probably get this done in the next 10 minutes.
Let's see.
Okay, we wanna open Git. Okay. So you'll need to have a Git bash thing installed on your computer.
Okay.
So if you use Git, here's mine. And we would like to initialize our that chat folder as a Git repository to get it on GitHub.
Let's do it.
So let's do...
So do you need to have it on GitHub, or can you have a local Git repository as well? Or is it just easier to put it on GitHub?
I don't know. It's personal preference, I think.
I will tell you that if you do have source control, you should probably put it somewhere other than your local machine, because I've had problems before. I had some of my code wiped out, a dumb mistake that I did many, many years ago, and I've decided never to put that stuff on my machine.
Yeah.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, back up. You never learn to back your stuff up until it's too late.
Yeah, I've already had that experience, thank you.
but it just keeps on happening.
That's right.
I don't know. Okay, so we navigated into the folder, and then all you have to do to type to create a new Git instance is type git init. Mm-hmm. Alright, initialize an empty Git repository for that chat.
Fantastic.
So first step is done. Then we can type in git status to make extra sure that it's a repository. It tells us we're on the master branch.
Got it.
And it's detected these new files that we materialized. Okay. So now that we've got a repository started, let's add our local files to it. And to do that, you type git add dot. That dot means you're adding everything. It's going to go bonkers because I added a bunch of node modules when I did npm install.
Sometimes, like, you would put in the git ignore file, you'd say, hey, ignore all the npm modules, right?
Yeah. If you want to get finicky with it, you can do that.
That's right. So if I do a git ignore on the node modules and you push it up to Azure, is it going to still get those modules?
Mm-mm.
It should, or you have to put them in?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I feel like how is it gonna get them if you don't put them there?
Okay.
So, all right. After you've added the changes, then you can commit the changes to the repository's history with a short description of your updates. Usually you just type like initial commit for your first one. And then it goes bananas again because it's committing all these things.
Sure.
Now at this point, it's time to go to github.com. So here I am at github.com. I'm logged into my profile.
There you are.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a GitHub, then you log in, you register, you make one. And I'm just a little bit, okay, you click on the plus sign up in the top and go to create new repository. You give it a nickname, I'm gonna call it That Chat. You give it a short description like That Conference. You make it public. I'm going to not initialize it with a README and I'm going to leave these ignores as none.
Got it.
And I'm going to click on create repository. Okay, and then
then it tells you what to do, right?
You can follow the instructions, but all I'm going to do right now is I just need to copy this link to my clipboard.
Okay.
And I'm going to go back to my Git thing. So back in the terminal and inside of the That Chat folder that I initialized as a repository just a second ago, I want to tell Git the location of the remote version of GitHub's servers, the thing we just created. You can have multiple remotes, so each one requires a name. For the main one, it's commonly called Origin.
Okay.
So I'm going to type in git remote add origin, if everything is spelled correctly. I forgot. Silly me. I forgot to...
tell it where it was, right?
I forgot to give it the URL.
Yeah.
Okay, don't do that. This is the part where you paste in the URL that you copied into your clipboard that I spaced out on. There you go. And then, hopefully, if we hit enter... it should know what we're talking about now. Okay. Now my local repository knows where my remote one is, named Origin, lives in GitHub servers. So next we want to push everything that we've done locally up to GitHub.
Got it.
And do you know about the whole branching system?
I'm still learning it.
Okay.
But I love Git, right? I have a couple open source projects that I work on. I can do it, like, if it's just me, but once pull requests start to come in, I get nervous and you gotta merge and stuff.
Oh,
but,
God, yeah. I panic so much.
Me too.
I get into these, like, loop-de-loops on the branches, and I feel like I've wrecked everything.
One day, when you get a branch merge conflict, just call me and we can panic together.
Yeah, you get this, like, sinking, is this cold sweat.
Am I gonna destroy everything? So, are you branching now, or what are you doing, just pushing stuff up?
I'm just gonna work on the master branch.
Okay.
Because there's nobody else working on this with me, and I'm just kind of linearly doing stuff.
Got it.
We know about the branching system. That it's really helpful for if you just want to clone something that somebody else did and like make your own branch, then you can have like the Sarah branch or the Seth branch. So in this case, we'll send our branch named master to our remote on GitHub named Origin.
Okay.
So when I type git push Origin, master. That's what that means.
And now it's going to just eat everything up and push it up to the internet.
So it needs to know my username for GitHub, which is Sarah Sexton, and it needs to know my password,
which is ABC123, of course.
And we have success. Now I'm going to go back to my GitHub on the internet browser, and I'll refresh the page of my repository. Refresh. And ta-da!
There you go. Hey.
Everything's the same locally and remotely.
Nice.
Now we're ready to push our chat room to Azure and share it with the rest of the world so it's not just running locally.
Got it.
So now is the part where I go to Azure. You go to azure.com. Let me see if I can just do that. So for people back at home who don't have Azure already open in their browser history, you go to azure.com, you click on this portal button, the word portal up in the top. And then if you have a subscription and you're logged in, then it will take you to all the stuff you've created.
Right.
Not a lot of people have this though.
Okay.
But like part of my job is giving out Azure codes to students and startup companies.
To give it a try.
Yeah, through DreamSpark and BizSpark.
Awesome.
We have free trials.
That's cool. Now the free trial, it probably includes a certain amount of hours or?
Yeah, it includes credits. I think it's like 150 or 250 credits.
You are not going to go over that much every month.
No, I don't.
Especially
go over
if
that much.
Especially if you're doing, and I'm doing lots of stuff, and I have a credit like that, and it's just not. All right, so let's see how we make the site.
Yeah, here we are in Azure. You whoop. How did that happen? You click on the plus button down here on new. You go to web app. And you can just do a quick create.
Okay.
Did I do that too fast?
No, it's good.
And you come up with a unique URL.
ABC123. Oh, you can't use your password. Yeah.
You have to come up with something that somebody else hasn't already taken.
Got it.
So I'm just going to type unique URL because it's free. Mm-hmm. You click on create web app. And then here it is. It's being created right as we speak. Mm-hmm. And then you will click on what you just made and you will go to the dashboard to get ourselves set up. Click on the word dashboard.
So again, the goal is to get this GitHub chat, or this Node.js chat application up on Azure.
Yeah, so I could be like, hey, everybody go to blankety-blank.azurewebsites.net and come chat with me.
Cool.
So over here where it says quick glance, there's an option that says set up deployment from source control.
Nice.
That's our magic ticket. Here we can do Visual Studio Online, a local Git repository, GitHub, Dropbox, Bitbucket, CodePlex, or external repository.
So it looks like you can do a local Git repository too. So if you have you could just push. I think the way it works, now that I'm remembering, is you just make the origin Azure or the deployment. I don't know what you, I think it's like, you know how you added origin master?
Yeah.
You add like Azure master.
Yeah, you're right. I watched a video about that. So right now I'm going to select GitHub, hit next. It's going to authorize. It's doing OAuth right now. Mm-hmm. Authorization was successful. I'm going to find myself, and I'm going to find that chat. Did I call it that chat?
I don't remember.
I did do it. And I'm going to do the master branch, hit next. And right now it is working its magic, grinding
thinking
its gears.
About life.
Thinking about this new life it has found.
That's right.
So let's, okay. If you click on your notifications, it's telling you that it's successful.
Uh-huh. Is there a place that says, hey, I'm deploying right now?
It is right there, literally right there.
Wow, look at me, there you go.
Yes, so continuous deployment is useful when you have multiple people working on a project and you want to ensure that the latest version is always published, regardless of who made the changes.
Got it.
Continuous deployment is also useful if you're using an online tool as the central repository your project. It's pretty great. Anytime you make a change, you can just push it, and you just refresh your website, and the change is made.
So sometimes, obviously, you don't want to do that all the time. And Azure, if I remember right, you can have a staging and a testing environment
as
well.
That's true.
So you can have certain branches just go to certain areas.
Yes.
Okay, that's cool.
You're definitely correct about that. It's like having a sandbox to play in.
That's right. So how long does it take to deploy something like that?
It'll be ready in probably the next 30 seconds.
It's like baking right now, isn't it?
Like easy bake.
That's right. So here's the thing. I use this stuff because I pushed up a Node.js site just like this a little while ago. It literally was this painless.
See, it's done.
It's already done. All right, well, let's see if we can go to it.
Yeah. So let's go back to the dashboard.
And you can view a website or something, right?
Down here, it's got the URL. I'm going to click on the URL, unique URL.azurewebsites.net, which anybody can go visit, unless I delete it.
Right. It's loading.
Yeah, it's brand new. Ta-da!
There you go. Let's type into it. Let's see if it works.
Testing 1, 2, 3. It works.
Wow, and we haven't even been here that long, but you were able to, from scratch, you didn't even use Yeoman. And Yeoman is a generator it's kind of like a file new project template, but for JavaScript type stuff. And because I used Yeoman before, but you literally just started from scratch, built it up, showed it working, and then pushed it up. That's pretty cool.
And I think we clocked in at under 30 minutes.
Booyah, that's awesome. So what suggestions do you have for folks that want to do this, just to follow, because you have a really, I saw over here off to the right, you're so organized. Is there a way someone can go through this script themselves?
Go through the script of like what I just did?
Yeah.
They can watch this video.
Is that what we're doing right now? That's awesome. So do it, give it a try. And if they want some credits for Azure, is there a way to do like a trial?
Yes, send me an email or ask your friendly neighborhood Microsoft tech evangelist for like a DreamSpark or a BizSpark Azure Code free trial. We have free trials available to the public. Just like search for it, like Azure free trial.
Got it.
Well, that's cool. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. This was awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully I can take this video and put it on my channel 9 as well as yours.
Yeah, we'll just put it on your channel, dang it. That's right, you do have your own blog. Do you have a blog on channel 9 or is it actually a show? You don't know. I don't know either.
I just made it.
Oh, good. Well, we'll put it on yours. Thanks for watching. We're here with Sarah.
Yes.
Learning about Node.js, pushing it up to Azure at that conference
Yes.
next to the fire. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Thank you.